John's Gospel, chapter 10, please. John, chapter 10. Now, I'm sure you have enjoyed what you have heard already, but I want to assure you that you didn't enjoy it as much as I did. Because I have many times, since 1981, gone back to that night when I was very, very surprised by what happened in the hall here. The only time it has ever happened in my experience to the present moment, when I did everything I could to keep two people that I had never met before that had come and listened very seriously in the meeting, to keep them both from telling me that they were saved because they were quiet and responsive to what was said. I didn't have a Bible in my hand, I don't think, and they didn't either, so our text was on the wall over there on the side. It was easy to see. And I can't remember which one was first now. I have to find out after meeting. But first husband and then wife or vice versa. I turned from one because I was afraid they would simply say they believed everything I was telling them and they were saved. I spoke to the other one. And when I come back, because I was afraid now that they were going to tell me that they had gotten saved, I turned to the other and found out that he had been saved. And so when I left him quickly and turned to the other, I found that she had been saved. Both saved together. Through the simple truth of John 3 and 16, I just found out tonight what I didn't know before, that that was the verse that God was using during the meeting to speak to them too. It's a wonderful thing for me to think of people coming into a meeting. The first time that I met them, and the first time they sat in a gospel meeting like that, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I want to tell you tonight, if it's the first time you've ever listened to the gospel in a meeting like this, you could leave through that back door saved and sure you're going to be in heaven. And I'll say something else to those that have heard it every Sunday night of their lives and more in between. It's a tragedy to think you've lived so near to God's salvation, and others come along and very simply take it for themselves and rejoice in it, don't you, brother? And you live without it, when it could be yours. I want to read just this one verse, John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, that's a very simple gospel verse. And I do hope tonight that with what has been said already, what will be said till the end of this meeting will be simple in keeping with this gospel text that we have read. The Lord Jesus is speaking a very profound truth, actually. He uses an allegory that would be very familiar to all those who listen to him, although we wouldn't just have the same familiarity with it. But in an agricultural society where there were a lot of sheep herders, the shepherds would be used to finding a place out in the open where there would be a protective wall all around and one door to enter into that fold, and a number of different shepherds would bring their flocks of sheep into that fold for protection, perhaps for a night. And one shepherd would be responsible for caring for that fold and for all the sheep that were in it, and the other shepherds would have occasion then to have a rest and a break from their work. And then each shepherd would return to that fold and come back, and he would simply call his sheep. And all the sheep that were his that he had brought in there, all the sheep that were his would hear his voice, they would respond to him, and they would follow out under his shepherd care. Now the Lord Jesus says, that's just the way it is with you. He is speaking to a Jewish audience. He says, all of you are really in a fold, in the fold of Judaism. And all of you are like sheep. And there has been a porter who has cared for those sheep. God gave him that responsibility. And that porter one day announced that here is the shepherd of the sheep, and I am opening to him. This is the one that the Word of God has introduced. And he is here to claim the sheep that are his, and that shepherd that he introduced was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus spoke. And it was true in the ministry of the Lord up until John chapter 10 that there were those that heard his word. He said in John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. He came and there were those that heard his word They responded to the voice of God. They were saved. They responded to the shepherd. And through him, they were brought into all that God intended for men to have. Life, salvation, and eternal blessing. I am the door, says the Lord Jesus. I am the one who is sent for the protection and blessing for the salvation of man. And I am the one who is announcing salvation and offering eternal life. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want to say then, first of all tonight, that the Lord Jesus, who speaks of himself as the door, is presenting this simple truth, that the door of salvation is unique. There's only one. I am the door. There's no salvation in Hinduism. There's no salvation in Buddhism. There's no salvation in any religion that goes under the name of Christianity. And without wanting to offend anyone tonight, let me just say very plainly, there's no salvation in Catholicism. There is no salvation in Protestantism any more than there is salvation through Muhammad. I am the door. When the Lord Jesus spoke of men being brought to heaven, he said, I am the way. We're not apologizing for that tonight. There are millions of men and women in the world tonight who do not believe in Jesus Christ. It does not change the fact that he is the way. He is the door. There is salvation alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is very simply true because there is nothing in man that is capable of delivering him from his own greatest problem, and that is his sins. God has only one salvation. There is only one remedy for man. This matter of a soul being redeemed, a soul being delivered from going down to hell, is a matter that the Old Testament has already told us. It is precious. The redemption of their soul is precious, and it must be let alone forever. No man can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's not a man upon earth that is able to deliver men and women from their sins. There is not a man upon earth who has ever lived here apart from this blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to bring deliverance to man from their sin. Yesterday I saw a young man with a t-shirt on. It really greatly distressed me. I don't know whether the boy was wearing that t-shirt for effect, or if he knew what he actually had emblazoned on that t-shirt. It was kind of a dark, you know, foreboding-looking t-shirt with green and red letters kind of zigzagged on it. Kind of, well, for an old fellow like me, it's kind of spooky-looking. But all he had across the top of it was Judas Christ, who was a man that lived in Connecticut in the USA, who was one of hundreds of men living today who have told men that they are a Savior. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one Savior, one door. And unless you enter through that door, no matter where you have attended, because I assume tonight I am speaking to men and women that have always attended Christian faith and heard Christian teaching, no matter where you have attended tonight, the door to any building of worship is not the door to heaven. There's one door, and that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. The door to heaven is not a religion. The door to heaven is not a belief. The door to heaven is a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now I want to remind you tonight, equally as simply, that this door has two sides. You wouldn't need me to tell you that, but I do want to apply the lesson of that to you tonight. It is a chorus we sing with children, so it's very simple. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Thank God I'm on the inside. I can tell you that I came to the inside of the door on the 16th of April, 1961. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And just as clearly as there's an aisle up the middle of the hall tonight, and there are two sides to the gathering, just so clearly tonight, there are two sides in our meeting tonight. There are those that are on the inside, and there are those that are on the outside. I'm not asking tonight if there are those that are older or younger. I'm not asking tonight if there are those that believe Christian teaching or do not believe Christian teaching. I am asking very directly tonight, have you ever had a time when you came inside? Has there ever been a moment when you entered through Christ plus nothing? When you came through what He had done at Calvary into salvation? When you entered in, has there been such a time in your life? Or would you have to admit tonight, I've never come inside. I believe all that the preceding speaker said. I believe all that you're saying. But there has never been a time in my life when I was saved. Believe all that you're saying. But there has never been a time in my life when I was saved. Now that's what the Lord Jesus says. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you've entered in, you're saved. But if you haven't entered in, you're not saved. So there are the two sides to the door. In our meeting tonight, there are those that are saved, and there are those that are not saved. Every person who is saved has a time when they were saved. Are you inside the building tonight or outside? And I know you're inside. If you're inside the building tonight, there was a time when you came in. Now, some of you came in at 10 after 7, and some of you came in at 25 after. But there was a time when you came in. Whether you noted the time or not, there was one moment when you were outside, if you came in that front door, one moment you were outside, and the next moment you were inside. If you're saved, there was one moment when you were outside, and there was another moment when you were inside. If you never knew you were outside, then you never have come into the inside. If you've never found out that you were lost, that you were in danger, because that's what this word save means. It means to be in danger. Really, you could take another illustration that the Lord Jesus used to present this truth. Because He used the shepherd illustration in Luke chapter 15. In that passage, He says there are 99 in the fold in the wilderness that the shepherd leaves. That's just the picture of John chapter 10 now. Here is the fold, and the shepherd has secured those 99 in the wilderness in that fold. But there is one that is not in the fold. And the word that is used to describe that one that is not inside is lost. Doth he not go out and seek after that which is lost? Lost? Yeah, it's not inside. It's not saved. It's lost. Oh, the danger of that sheep that's lost, that's on the outside. All the natural enemies of that animal are ready waiting to prey upon it. All its basic needs cannot be met. All its basic desire, all that is required, even as far as food and all of that, that sheep has no capability to take that care of itself. That sheep is in danger. I want to tell you tonight that beyond all the danger depicted by a helpless sheep that is away from the shepherd's care, beyond all of that is the danger in which men and women are tonight who are not saved. The danger in which you are tonight if you are not inside the fold. Oh, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be inside. It's a wonderful thing to know the shepherd, to know the Savior is mine, to be able to take the word. You know, I always learned this psalm when I was a boy in Sunday school, and I learned it, and I always heard it repeated by Christians. I knew it was a favorite of Christians, but I did not understand why. I can tell you now, the more I think of it, the more I love it. The Lord is my shepherd. There's enough in that to cheer and fill the heart of one who belongs to the Lord Jesus, of one who is inside, of one who is saved. There's enough in that to thrill the heart for a lifetime and for a long time. Inside, cared for by the shepherd, loved infinitely by the Lord Jesus. If you're outside of that, exposed to all the danger of a Christless life. Sin is no friend. This world has been deluged by a master public relations scheme. There is a real devil who has plastered on every billboard that sin is fun. I want to tell you tonight that despite all the advertising of the devil, sin is your enemy. And sin has left you to the present moment empty. Sin has left you to the present moment exposed to all the ills of this world, all the heartbreaks, all the disappointments. And any that you have known to the present moment are only a foretaste of what you will find for the rest of the journey. Sin is an enemy. Sin leaves men empty. If I may go back to the story of Luke chapter 16, the story really isn't finished about a lost sheep until we have learned about a lost son who is lost as well. Perishing is the word that boy uses. And he says, I am lost with hunger. I'm the sheep that's outside the shepherd's care, and I want to tell you it's an awful empty place to be. That's what the boy discovered. Life isn't worth living if this is all there is to it. I'm perishing with hunger, and there's bread enough in the spare in my father's house. Why the madness of living in my sin? Why? Two sides to the door. Saved or lost, inside or outside. And for those tonight that are lost, we're not only presenting the sad fact of an empty life, exposed to the dangers of sin in this life. I want to tell you tonight that the greatest danger is that you are exposed to the dangers of your own sin long term. That at any moment you might step out of this life without wanting to, without expecting to, but at any moment you may step out of this life into eternity. And if you go outside of Christ, if you die not saved, you will not only have been lost in this life, you will be lost forever. Oh, let me plead with you to stop for a moment and consider. What we are presenting tonight is not gospel hall religion. We are not suggesting tonight that we have a good idea and perhaps you ought to get to know more about it. We are presenting the only way of salvation that the Bible speaks about, the only hope for mankind. And tonight we are saying that if a man lives outside of Christ and dies outside of Christ in his sins, he will perish in a real burning hell for all eternity. And if that's the first time you have ever considered such a thing, I want to press that point home upon your heart tonight. Dear soul, if you have never been saved, it's just not simply that you need a little more experience to have what these people here talk about. It would be nice to be just as sure of being in heaven as they are. I want to tell you tonight that you are living on the edge of a burning hell. If you die outside of Christ, a person as respectable as you will be in hell forever. A person who expects to be in heaven some way, somehow, someday, as you do, will be in hell for an endless eternity. Inside. Inside and outside. And I'm just going to ask you again the simple question of the children's chorus. On which side are you? Taking another illustration, another scripture from the Lord Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus speaks about a door again, different setting, but it is about a door. I want to bring from that passage just one truth into this passage. The Lord Jesus says, straight is the gate. It's a narrow door through which men enter into life, into salvation. Only one door, that's two sides, that is near. It's too narrow for people to go through with their own righteousness. It's too narrow for people to go through with their own ideas. It's too narrow to go through with anything. When a person gets saved, they come down to where they have absolutely nothing before God. And when they come for salvation, they come with nothing else added to give to God. And now, you understand what I mean by that. It's just exactly what we've been hearing already tonight. That a person has got to find out they're a sinner. That a person has got to find out that they can do nothing to have salvation. Now, there are two men that came to God one day before they come into the door. Two men came to God, and one man came to God with all his baggage. And he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Unjust, extortioners, adulterers, or even a discovery. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Here I am, God, with all my baggage, and all the baggage about what I have done, and all the baggage about how good I am, what I haven't done. Another man comes to the door, and I'll show you how he comes. He says, God, there's no baggage with me. I'm just coming empty-handed. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Here I am, it's just me, guilty, the sinner before God. Nothing to dress myself up with. Nothing to offer to God, nothing to make me more presentable. I am here simply as a sinner. Now here they are, they're both at the door. I want to ask you tonight, which of those men would you expect goes through the door and is saved? The man who has good works to his credit? The man who has good character to his credit? Is that the man that's going through the narrow door? No, no, listen, I want to tell you tonight, that the man is going to have to leave behind all his luggage because you can't bring that through the door. It's narrow. The Lord Jesus says, I'll tell you which one of those two men went down to his house saved, right to God. Not the man with all the baggage. You couldn't make it through. The man that came as a sinner. Alone. Nothing to flee. He goes through. Now there's no secret about why we're preaching. We're preaching for you to be saved. We'd like to see you saved tonight. Could we ask you to leave all your tithes behind? We have already heard it read from the Word of God, by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A man's works can't get him through the door. He's got to leave all that behind. He's got to come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve anything. If I receive what I have merited from God, I will be eternally banished outside forever, and my soul will be lost in hell. Oh, God, is there grace? Is there what I do not deserve for a sinner like me? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. By grace are ye saved. The door is wide enough to take you through if you just come as a sinner. It'll take you through with all your sins tonight. Burdened with guilt, there's room tonight for you to come through. All the great truth is, no one comes through and lives the same on the other side as he did outside. Yes, God's salvation makes a change of life. But I want to tell you tonight, God is not asking you to change before you come through. God is saying, come as you are as a sinner. And in the words of the hymn that so many Christians love, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just burdened by sin, just guilty, with nothing to present to God. All of your going to church will not take you one step through the door. All of your good life, all of your good deeds, and a thousand things that you could say, or friends and neighbors could say to your credit, none of those will take you through the door. They leave them all behind. God saves sinners. As sinners. Or they'll never be saved. Lord, now, there's room for sinners. They leave all the baggage behind. Lord, someone before this meeting came to the building here. I just had a little key. Turned the key. Opened the door. And the door was open. Simple. And when you came along, it just came right in. I want to tell you just a little history tonight that will remind you that the opening of the door was not simple. But I do want to tell you that the door is open tonight. In order for the door to be open, in order for salvation to be available to you, there was an infinite cost that had to be paid. Christians sometimes sing, "When blood from a victim must flow, this shepherd by pity is led to stand between us and the foe and willingly die in our stead." I think behind this statement of the Lord Jesus, there is this picture of a fold safely surrounded by enclosure and sheep inside secure. Because across that door, there is a shepherd who is sleeping. He's lying at that door. And every danger outside that would threaten those sheep can only reach those sheep by the shepherd. Whether it was a fold or not, it's the same illustration as that great shepherd of the Old Testament. You know him by the name of David, don't you? And one day along came, in order to get one of these sheep, along came a lion. And that shepherd was between the sheep and the lion. The lion's not touching the sheep. And with bare hands, David took the lion. Saved the sheep, our hero. And one day there came along a bear. And between that bear and the safety of those sheep, there stood one ruddy shepherd boy. And with his bare hands, he met the bear. There came a day when David had to explain all that to the king, Saul. David could not hold out his hands and show to King Saul any proof of what had happened. Yes, he had saved the sheep. Yes, he had met the lion and the bear. He left the scene unscathed. I want to tell you about another shepherd that came. John chapter 10 tells me the words of the Lord Jesus, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus went to Calvary in agony and suffering that no man will ever know, because it was required that in order for man's great foe to be defeated, in order for man to be delivered not from the lion and the bear, but to be delivered from his own sins and the eternal judgment to which his sins would take him, in order for man to be delivered, there must be one to die for. It's not simply with bare hands to kill a wild animal that comes. It is in willing sacrifice to pay the price of sin that a life must be given. Ah, what a story of this story. You've never heard a better story than this. There is no sweeter story in all the wide world tonight. The Good Shepherd has come. And the Good Shepherd has stood between me and the judgment of my sins. Sometimes we quote them, they almost seem to be immortal words of Major John Andre. "On him, almighty vengeance fell, that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race. He thus became my hiding place. I am safe tonight, because the shepherd has met the judgment of my sin. Judgment will never reach me, because it fell upon him for me when he died at Calvary." I suppose that most often when I think of this verse, my mind goes to the state of New York and to a gospel tent that we had pitched there a few years ago. In fact, we were making mention of those meetings just Friday night. In those meetings, there was a young couple attending. My beloved brother and fellow worker, Paul Kember, had met them at the door, had invited them to meetings, had gotten them to come. And sad to say, necessity pressed him to leave, so I was left alone, but they kept coming. They were interested when he left. That interest continued. We just didn't know exactly how interested they were. They were very much interested in being saved. But you wouldn't be able to tell it by the way that Vince, the husband, looked. Because they had a live wire son. Now, I'm telling you, he was a live wire. He loved to play and he just talked right out. He was uninhibited. Cute little kid, but he was that. And so, some of the folks from here, David Al, and some of the other boys that were there, were given the responsibility of taking care of him during the meetings. They played ball with him. They did whatever they could to keep him just far enough away from the tent that he was near to his parents, but away from the children of the meeting. And every once in a while, despite all their efforts, he'd break away from them and come running over toward the tent. So the way his father listened in the meeting was, we had the sides of the tent hanging down just above eye level. So the father would be sitting down, and every once in a while, right in the middle of the meeting, he'd stand up, and my, you know, you'd just be pitching your heart out, and get something across to him, and just when you thought you were making your point, he'd stand up, and he'd look around that side to see how he was doing, and he'd sit down again. My, I thought, what a waste of time. Here I am preaching to him, I think he's listening, and the next thing he's up, looking around, and he sits down again. But he was listening. And at the door of the tent that night, he said, I had a faith in him. He said, you know, just when you were expressing just what I have expressed now, he said, I was thinking about this tent and the enclosure, and here's the door. And the Lord Jesus was the one that laid down there to protect the sheep by dying for them. And he says, I saw that the Lord Jesus had died to save me. And I just entered in through the door. I came into the tent and I was saved because he had died for me. I want to tell you tonight that the door is open and salvation is at hand. Christ has died and there is safety for all who enter by him. Sheltered alone by the work that he finished at Calvary. Saved through the work that he has done. Saved because he has died for my sins. My sins will never bring me into judgment. Because he died for them. And that's just the message of the gospel we're preaching to you tonight. He has died for sinners at Calvary, and there is safety alone through what he did. The door is open. But I'm going to change the picture as I close and tell you that that door will close. Not everybody here tonight will know that all through the day today, the Christians that have been here have been rejoicing in one truth. This one. It's enough to keep them happy all their lives. And you know what that great truth is? I think it's been written afresh on some of our hearts today. You know what the truth is? Oh, Jesus is coming. The same one that came from heaven to earth to die for sinners is coming back. The same gospel from which we have read tells us, I will come again. Thank God. I nearly said hallelujah, but it's all right. Hallelujah. He's coming. Oh, what a moment that's going to be. And everyone in the meeting tonight that's saved, in a moment is going to be gone. No questions asked, no warning given. In a moment, gone home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. To gaze in that lovely face. Thank God he's coming. But Luke chapter 13 says, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, the moment he comes, the door will be closed for you. Oh, listen, dear soul in the meeting tonight, as wide open as the door is, and as available as salvation is to you at this present moment, I want to tell you before the meeting is closed that the door may not be open for you tomorrow. The Lord Jesus is coming. And as much as that message has been preached down through the centuries, one day some man is going to announce that truth to unsaved people for the last time. I expect to be living when that last announcement is made. I would be thankful to God if it were my privilege to speak that last fateful announcement. And I don't know whether I've announced that truth to unsaved souls tonight for the last time. If I could move you inside the door tonight, I would. If those that love you here tonight, and some of them are many miles away that love you and they're praying for you, if they could move you inside the door tonight, they would. Listen, dear soul, if you came tonight to Christ and entered by the door, It would be the most happy, the most unforgettable night of your life, and the beginning of a changed life that means peace and joy. Why stay outside when there's such blessing awaiting inside? And while you're outside to think that you may remain outside forever. Family is a wonderful thing, isn't it? The happiest times are family times, holiday times, families all together. Sometimes it just seems at holiday times like that, when the family's together and one or two members are missing, not able to come, somehow the time's not completed. You're thinking about them. You wish they could be there. It would be wonderful if all the family were going to be inside when the Lord Jesus died. There are some of you here tonight, and if the Lord Jesus came right while I'm speaking, all the family would be there. All but you. You know what it is to be separated from the family for a time, and then really, if you were to admit it, when the time comes when you're together with them again, your heart skips a little beat. Wonderful to be there. Listen, I want to tell you, if the Lord Jesus comes tonight and they're all up yonder in heaven, you'll never be with them. The door will be shut. Opportunity will be eternally withdrawn. And you'll be left on the outside. Left while the twilight darkens into a solemn gloom. Left, but instead of heaven, what shall thy portion be? Weeping and wailing only. All through eternity. The door is open tonight. Before the door closes, I want to press every soul in the meeting tonight as if I were taking you personally by the hand. Dear soul, enter through the door. Angels took the hand of Lot and his wife and the two daughters, and they pressed them out of the city because judgment was about to fall. Lot's wife thought she could trifle with that pressing message from the angels. Oh, if only Lot's wife had that moment to relive. If only Lot's wife could make a different choice. If only she could press outside at the urging of those messengers from God. If only... Remember Lot's wife, she looked back. She hesitated for a moment. She lost the pace and looked back. She lost her soul. A choice was made that there was never to be opportunity to remake. Never. Dear soul, tonight the door is open, the door is soon to shut. God grant you might not make the irretrievable mistake of hesitating just outside the door tonight. Enter. Christ has died. Salvation is available. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter it, simply to trust Him, to shelter behind what He did at Calvary, if any man enter in, God's word for it. Because you see, the Lord Jesus earlier in this passage has spoken about the door. He enters in by the door. That's the word of God. And then He says, I am the door. To trust Him and to trust what the word of God have said is exactly the same thing. If you take God's word for it tonight, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. As surely as God has said it, it is true. You enter tonight, and you'll leave this meeting on the authority of what God has said. Saved for life. Saved for eternity. Our Father, we do thank Thee for the privilege of being here at the meeting this evening. We thank Thee for those that are here to hear the gospel. Differing needs, as different as faces before us, but Father, we do thank Thee for the privilege of telling each one of the Savior and of Calvary and of salvation available to them. Oh, that there may be some from our meeting tonight wise to trust the Savior. If it is so that the last soul saved at the close of this age will usher in that moment when the Lord Jesus will come, our heart's longing is that the last souls will come from Victoria Drive tonight. saved even as we are speaking to thee, trusting the work of Christ at Calvary, and safe as the door swings shut eternally. Grant thy blessing, O God, we commit thy good word to thee, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, for the call of his Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted the cost? You'll understand that what we are singing about tonight is to count well the tremendous cost of what it will mean to you to be outside the door in the Lord Jesus Christ. While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depths of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you come and be saved? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost. Verse 1, verse 3 of number 129. If I were to take time to try by a lengthy paragraph to express my feelings of appreciation for being here for a week and a half in Vancouver and with so many of the friends that are here tonight, I wouldn't be able to express it fully, so I'll just simply say thank you. It has been wonderful to be with you. And God grant that from our time together tonight there will be souls who will trust Christ and meet us in heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first and last verses of 129.
There's a line that is drawn.